Well, if you come to this service each week, it's been a minute since we had a message, but we began a few weeks ago at the beginning of the season of Advent by talking about the idea to keep walking, that the Christian life is a journey and we are called to keep walking. And as we look at the scriptures of the season of Advent heading into Christmas, the season of preparation, so many of them talk about this progression of walking in the direction of the Lord and the direction that the Lord might have for us. We began at the very first week of Advent, and I shared this story with you about hiking to the top of Brasstown Bald and how we had this vision of where we were going, and that vision of where we were going and the reason for why we were going there was what gave us the sense to keep going and to keep pressing on in order to keep walking and get there. And how in the Christian life, having a clear vision of where God is leading us and where God is calling us can move us to where we are called to be, and we keep walking in that direction. Well, if you come to the sanctuary each week, you miss the next week's message. Only happened in the loft. You can find it online. But in that particular message, I shared another story about something that happened to me in the North Georgia Mountains, and I kind of gave myself a challenge to make sure I had a North Georgia Mountains story each week of Advent. And so here we are in the final week of Advent. I want to share with you one of my favorite experiences of something that happened to me and how it was this eye-opening experience within the theme that we are looking at today of walking in trust, of walking in trust. And this is something I shared a few years ago in one of our sermon series, but it's such a beautiful illustration of what it means to walk in trust and what the impact can be when we take the time to walk in trust. So the story goes back to my freshman year of college. It was in the fall of my very first semester, and I was up at Young Harris College, and it's up at the very top of Georgia, right before you enter into North Carolina, up in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains. And I was up there, and I had made a lot of really good friends really quickly. At the time, Young Harris was only a two-year school, and so I had friends that were a year older than me, and then most of my friends were the same grade as I was. And we were going through experiencing life together and building relationships. And one of the things I realized about Young Harris is that they had an organization for everything. Now, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but they had an organization to the point of where there was an organization for people who sat on the left side of the table at lunch. I mean, it was kind of silly how many organizations there were. There was a Christian service organization for men. There was a regular service organization for men. There was a Christian service organization for women. There was a regular service. I mean, you go through and you name it. There were Christian societies, there were fraternities, sororities, you name it. We had the Baptist group, the Methodist group. If you wanted to fill your entire schedule with organizational activities, you could. I mean, you didn't even have to go to class. You could still fill your entire calendar just by being a part of all the different organizations. And one of my favorite things was we also came with all these, quote, secret societies that were really jokes. They weren't really like secret societies like the movie The Skulls and, you know, things you hear about at some of the Ivy League schools. But it was instead really things that we would kind of make fun of the idea of how many organizations we had. And so one night, a group of older students, they were sophomores, and me and two of my freshman classmates, we were invited to come and be a part of one of these organizations. Now, we weren't given any information about it. We had never heard of such a thing, but we were invited to be a part of what they called Club SC. And I said, okay, Club SC, I have no idea what you're talking about. And they said, just come. We're going to go out to this place that's a little, you know, about 30 minutes from the campus. We want to show you some things, and we'll tell you a little bit more about what the organization is all about. And so, like foolish people, we hopped in the car with them to head out into the woods at night in the North Georgia Mountains. There probably should have been a documentary made about us, but we're here to tell the story today. And so we went, and so we go, and it was one of those incredible nights. Now, in North Georgia, in the mountains, they have something that we don't really have here in Valdosta. Seasons. Times of the year where the weather changes. Now, we've had a little bit of a spurt this past week or so. I'm enjoying every second of it, but for the most part, we don't really get that here. But in North Georgia, in the mountains, you have this beautiful time of year where the leaves change, the weather turns, and at night, it's like this perfect symmetry, semblance of fall leading into winter. And the way that I described the night in which we went out to find out what Club SC was all about is it was the kind of night where the temperature smelled like campfire. Do you know what I mean? Those nights where you smell the campfire and you know the crispness in the air and what that feels like and what it reminds you of. And so there we are, out in the North Georgia mountains, out in the woods, on this beautiful starry night where it smells like campfire everywhere. The air is so crisp. As we get out there, we're informed that part of finding out about Club SC is that there's this little slide that they want to show us in the woods that leads down to a body of water. Now, this should have been our cue to turn around and run. But instead, we were like, hey, we made it all the way out here. We'll find out what it's about. So we get out of the car and we go out into the woods. And the way it was laid out, it was really cool. So we were up on this tall hill in the side of a mountain. And there was this little sliding rock. I mean, it literally was like a natural slide like you would find on a playground. And what it did was you would run and jump, land on the slide, and then the slide would shoot you down this chute, and then you would go into this body of water. What could go wrong? I mean, it's, you know, they're like, this is awesome. So one of the guys gets up there, and he goes, and he's like, I'm going to show you how to do it. So he goes, and he does it. It sounds amazing. It looks amazing. I'm kind of looking at it, and when I hear him hit the water at the bottom of the hill, I go, that sounds a little further away than I thought it was. That sounds like it's pretty far down there. But nonetheless, let's see what happens. So one of my friends decides to go first. So he's the first one from our group to go. And here's what happens. This was his experience. So he goes and he does exactly what they said to do. He takes off running. He jumps. He slides down the slide. You hear him going down. He is screaming like a little girl the whole way. And then you hear him hit the water. And when he comes out of the water, again, the water's farther away than I thought it was originally. But anyways, you hear him come out of the water. And as he does, he lets out this scream that is this perfect blend of joy and horror and exhilaration. And so he goes and he does his part. I'm not about to go next. The other guy that's with us, he decides he'll go next. And so he takes off running and he does the same thing. And it's the exact same pattern. Screaming like a little girl all the way down this slide. Huge splash and then a scream of joy, horror, and exhilaration on the other end. By the time he gets done, the first guy who got back is coming back up. And I'm thinking to myself, it is so cold tonight. Why are they running and jumping into a slide that's going to take them down into a body of water? But the first guy comes up and he's shivering and shaking. And no, we didn't have a change of clothes with us. And he's sitting there thinking to him, talking out loud about it. He's like, that was so amazing. And so it's my turn. And I walk over and I kind of take a little peek down. I'm looking down that slide. And what I realize is I can't see where it goes. I have no idea what's on the other side other than this mental idea that I have because I've heard water splash somewhere way down there. I have no idea if it turns. I have no idea which direction it goes. All I know is that if I want to find out what Club SC is all about, I've got to take off running, jump into the slide, and slide down into this body of water. And so I started weighing my options. My options were I could turn around and go back to campus. I had no idea how to get back to campus. I had no idea where we were. I didn't have GPS on my phone at this time. This is over 20 years ago. Or I could take that leap of faith. So what did I do? Step back for a minute, thought long and hard about it, and then I took off running. I jumped. And as I slid down that slide, I screamed like a little girl. And when I hit the water, it was one of the most exhilarating, hard to describe experiences of all my life, as every single molecule in my body changed temperature all of a sudden. I felt the water, and then I sprung out and let out that scream of joy and exhilaration. Got back to the top and they told us that SC stands for stupid and crazy because we were stupid and crazy to have gone out there with them in the middle of the night not knowing what we were getting ourselves into. Now, I tell that story for this very simple reason. It would have been easy not to take that leap of faith and take the step where I did not know where it was going. But what would I have missed out on if I had not taken that step? What would I have missed out on if I didn't take the step to go where I could not see and to experience what I couldn't quite tell was on the other side? I didn't know each step that was going to happen along the way. I just knew that the first step was taking that step and that leap of faith. When I read the story of Joseph, I'm always kind of mesmerized by Joseph's story, partially because we really don't know a whole lot about him. You don't really see Joseph featured in a lot of Christmas carols. The only one I can really think of that mentions Joseph is, we didn't get to this verse, Mike, but in Angels We Have Heard on High, if we had kept singing, there is a verse where it says, Mary, Joseph, lend your aid. But if we're honest, do we really think Joseph's doing a whole lot with lending aid to the baby? No, we're thinking Mary's doing that. Mary gets featured in all the Christmas carols. She's on all the cards and things like that. Everybody loves Mary. There's something about Mary. But when we think about Joseph, most people, they don't even really think about him that much. Now, he does get a prominent spot in nativity sets. When we had our nativity with the children's nativity a few weeks ago, Joseph had a prominent role. He got to walk up on stage and be in the middle, but he didn't have any speaking parts. There wasn't any real attention drawn to him. He's just a part of the crowd. He's just a kind of a footnote in the story. We don't really know a whole lot about Joseph, and usually when people say something about Joseph, they think of Joseph in the Old Testament. He makes up a good portion of the book of Genesis. We know a lot about that Joseph, but Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, we really don't know that much about. But there are a few things that we know. We know from this story that he was a faithful man who wanted to do things in a just and right way. Some translations say that he was faithful, some say that he was just. But it tells us in verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. For Joseph, it would have been completely scandalous and shameful to marry someone who was already pregnant. And so he's trying to do this in the most holy and righteous way that he can. He's faithful to the law. He's faithful and just. And really, when we think about what it means to walk in trust and to be people who walk in trust, part of it begins with just simply being faithful people. Being people who nurture faithfulness in our lives. And that's what we're told about Joseph, is he is someone who was faithful to the law. He had been faithful to the way that he had been brought up. He had been faithful to the truth. And so he's looking at it and he's trying to do it, not just by the letter of the law, but by the heart of the law as well. He wants to make sure that Mary is taken care of, that she's not disgraced, and he wants to do it in as righteous of a way as possible. But something happens. Something happens in the life of Joseph that changes things for him. We're told that after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then we're told a couple of verses later, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. Here's the question I have when I read this story. What would have happened if Joseph hadn't have taken that leap of faith? Now, I believe in the power of God. I believe in the sovereignty of God to work in all things. And I believe there would have been another story that happened that we would tell as a part of the Christmas story. But what would Joseph have missed out on? Joseph would have missed out on having the honor of being the earthly father of Jesus. Joseph would have missed out on the honor of providing a home for Mary and her child. Joseph would have missed out on being printed with his name in every Bible that we read today. Joseph would have missed out on the miracle of what God was doing through the Savior he was sending to the form, through his son, Jesus. Joseph would have missed out on the story. And I think about it, when Joseph is reading into this story and he's thinking through the story and he finds himself in that moment, you have to think that he's looking at it from the perspective of going, I don't know what the rest of this picture looks like. I don't know what this full story is going to be. I don't know what is on the other side. I hear the water, but the water is so far away that I can't even visualize where it is. All I know is that God has told me to not be afraid and to not be afraid to take that next step. And that next step for Joseph was just very simply taking Mary home to be his wife, to embrace whatever ridicule might come his way, to embrace whatever embarrassment there might be, to embrace the uncertainty and the ambiguity and all that might be a mystery to him. All he had was to take the next step in front of him. And when I think about what it means to walk in trust, for a lot of us, it's hard to see the full picture of what God is doing. It's hard to see what is going to be on the other side. And sometimes God isn't giving us the full picture, but instead he's just saying, here's the next step. And sometimes that next step may look like a leap of faith where we cannot see what is on the other side. And we might not know all the details, and we might not know all the certainty. We might not be able to see anything beyond what is right there in front of us. And still, God nonetheless says, trust me, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take the next step. And I have to remind myself, when I think back on the story of my life and the chances I have had to take, when I think back to the story of Joseph and what could have gone differently if he had not taken this leap of faith, and I have to ask myself, what would be different if I don't take this step of trust and this step of faith? For many of us, we find ourselves walking through seasons of uncertainty. Maybe that season of uncertainty for you is walking through a diagnosis that you didn't expect to come. Maybe for some of you, it means walking through the journey of life with someone that you've walked with all these years and they're walking with you no more. For some of you, it might be walking into a shift, a change, a career trajectory shift. It might be something where an opportunity has been missed. It might be something where a dream has died. It might be that you are walking into something where you just literally do not know what the rest of the picture is going to be. All you know is the step that is in front of you. And in the midst of that, I think these words ring true for us. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And then God might show us what that next step happens to be. And as we take those steps, there's a beautiful promise that's given in this passage. We are told, as Matthew provides the narration, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. And then he gives this parenthetical explanation that says, which means God with us. The promise that is given to Joseph, the promise that is given to us, is not that we can see the full picture. The promise that is given to us is not that we know exactly how the story is going to end. The story of Christmas is not, here's what the rest of your life will be, now you've got the full picture and you can just walk in absolute certainty. The promise of the story of Christmas, the promise of the story of Joseph, the promise that we are invited to walk into and to live into as we are invited to walk in trust is to know, we may not know what the next step is after this one. We may not know what the full picture is, but we can know and trust and believe that God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And if we know God is with us, we can take that step of faith. We have been told to not be afraid. And we know that this is a promise that is not only given to Joseph, this is not only a promise that's given to the people of the New Testament, this is not just a promise that was given to Mary. This is a promise that Jesus reiterated himself. When he met with his disciples on the night before he gave himself up for us, he met with them and he shared with them that I will be with you always. When he got ready to ascend to heaven, he announced to them, I will be with you always until the end of the age. Jesus consistently reiterated the character and the persona that he came to this earth to display and to demonstrate to all of us that he is God with us. And so as you find yourself, maybe at the top of a mountain, looking down, and it might seem like it is pitch black in front of you, with no certainty what lies on the other side. God is with us. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid to take the next step and to keep walking in trust. Wherever God has you this year, wherever God is leading you, My prayer for you as you celebrate Christmas this year is that you would know that the presence of God is with you and is for you, and you can keep walking in trust each and every step, even when there's uncertainty ahead.